I watched, actually, just, you know, real quick, just a real quick interjection.
How dare you interject your own podcast?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just payback for you stepping all over me in the intro.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode Beta 9 for Wednesday, the 22nd of October, 2014. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos. I'm with Kent. That guy right there that's trying to talk over me because I ran over his little spot that he usually cuts in on. And we're just going to bullshit for the next half hour or so about some random stuff. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Bullshitting for the next half hour sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Is your back all right? Because you just got run over by a truck.
Yeah, I felt it.
I just ran right over you.
Right over me, right through me.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is what happens when you don't practice the intro first.
Yeah. Oh man.
Okay, so how are let's you get doing? The important stuff first, man.
Okay.
What's tonight's beer choice?
I'm still on Sam Adams Oktoberfest. It's still available, so I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Sam Adams at all, but
Have you tried the Oktoberfest though?
I have.
Oh, it's yummy.
Yeah, I'm on the Dos Equis Amber.
A classic,
tried and true favorite. Mm-hmm. So, all right, man, how was your week? And don't even get into the it was so long.
Right, the same thing I say every week. No, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, it's been busy. It's always busy, but. I can't really complain too much. Work hasn't been too terrible. Work, karate, family, podcast. That's pretty much how it goes.
Nice. I like it. Well, my week has been a little bit more exciting than that. We got our puppy on Friday.
Yep. Awesome.
Holy cow. I forgot what getting a puppy was like.
Yeah, wow. The good and the bad, or just the bad?
Both. I mean, I'm having to play both roles of the caretaker and the one teaching everybody else how to take care of it. And
all right,
you know, it's interesting. It's pretty fun though. A little rascal. We haven't quite come up with a name yet. We've kind of settled on Zeus, but I'm really not keen on that. I'm going for Bacchus, for obvious reasons. It is what it is. We'll figure that out here in the next couple of days or so. I gave everybody a little bit of a deadline before we name my dog. Of course, everybody says it's my dog, but then they all want to take part of the fun stuff, but none of the hassle.
Yeah, I thought you had already settled on a name.
We had, and then I found out that name was from a show that I really don't like, and my wife and daughters are a big fan of. So I figured if we couldn't name my baby daughter Aria, then we can't name the dog after a character in one of their shows.
Fair enough.
So that was Friday. Saturday was full day of puppy and soccer and sick baby. And then Sunday night came along and I had sick daughter. Monday morning came along and I was sick. So I was pretty much knocked out. Even went to the clinic and got a couple bags of IV pumped into me and all that other good stuff.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I spent Monday night and Tuesday. Tuesday evening, I started feeling better. And then, of course, today's Wednesday. And this morning, I woke up and not feeling too bad.
Hmm.
But it's pretty much run its way through the rest of the people in the household. So my wife and my mom need to watch out because they're the only ones that haven't been hit. And it looks like it might even be hitting the baby the second time through. So she's pretty raucous tonight.
Your family tends to get sick on the weekends. I've been noticing a trend.
Yeah, we can't get sick during the week. No, no, let's kill our off time. So that's pretty much been our week here at the Limos household. So let's get right into it, man. What was the geeky thing you did this week? Because we already discussed a little bit pre-show that I really didn't do much of anything this week, being sick and everything else. So, what was
geeky thing for you this week? It's kind of a role reversal because I'm usually the one trying to, like, oh man, did I even do anything geeky? No, I did something really geeky last weekend. We talked, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra.
Right.
Yeah, great show. I know you haven't watched it, but some of your family's watched it. And everybody that I've ever talked to thinks that it's awesome. And, oh my God, it's one of the... Avatar The Last Airbender is one of the greatest shows that has ever been on TV, animated or not. It's okay. Amazing. Anyway, The Legend of Korra is the sequel series, the follow-up to it. And so last weekend, me and the boys and the girlfriend watched the entire season 3 in one sitting.
Wow.
Yeah, season 4 had just started. And we'd seen exactly one episode, I think, of season 3. Because with everything going on, it's really hard to find time for TV shows.
That just means it's crunch time.
So during the weekend we found what was it? 5 hours or something? I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but we sat down and just watched all of season 3.
Wow.
It was awesome. And yes, it was pretty damn geeky.
Very cool. Very cool. It's one of those shows that I would love to watch the Airbender, or The Last Airbender. My wife has watched it. She loved it. My daughters have watched it. They loved it. I just need to watch it.
Yeah, it's an amazing storyline. The animation's great. The comedy that's in it is great. It's wonderful, but do yourself a favor. M. Night Shyamalan adapted it to the big screen with his movie The Last Airbender. Don't ever watch that movie. I'm not even saying don't spoil the show by watching the movie. No. Don't spoil your life by watching that movie. It is horrible. M. Night Shyamalan should be punched in the face for even doing anything with that movie. And I like M. Night Shyamalan's movies, but...
Just not that one.
No. I want bodily harm to be inflicted on him by my fists.
For his treatment of that particular movie.
Right. Gotcha. Because, you know, people will say like, oh, you know, he ruined Avatar. No. He didn't ruin Avatar. He ruined the chance of seeing Avatar correctly on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't really say that, though, because, I mean, how many versions of Spider-Man have we had?
Well, that is true. Hopefully, down the road, somebody competent will, again, attempt to make a movie of it.
Right.
And it could be awesome. I mean, it could rival Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and everything else awesome that's out there.
Yeah.
Because it is that epic and that amazing of a show.
Speaking of Spider-Man, do you remember the first time we watched that movie?
In Japan, in Okinawa, Japan.
In Japan, down at Jesco.
Yes, I do remember that.
I bring it up because this is one of those things where you have behind you stacks of comic books.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I do. My entire comic book collection is directly behind me. Not a one. And the reason I bring this up, okay, in all fairness, I did collect a little bit of Spider-Man, like 4 issues, 2 of which were gifts.
Hey, that counts. That counts.
The first, I don't know, 30 or 40 episodes of Spawn before I ended up losing my collection.
That's right. I do remember that. That was kind of the weird thing. It was like your idiosyncrasy with comic books. Like, you really liked Spawn, and you had, like, the first 30 issues.
Yeah.
I
wish I knew where they are now. but as a rule, I am not the comic book type. Mm-hmm. I read Dragonlance. I've read some Timothy Zahn novels for Star Wars. I've even picked up a book of short stories of Star Trek that I thoroughly did not enjoy. But as a rule, I am not the comic book kid. Mm-hmm. An example of what we thought, well, at least I thought, a movie done right was that first Star... Well, I won't say first, but the Spider-Man movie
mm-hmm.
that we saw. When was that? Was that 2003?
Man.
Because you left Oklahoma in 2003, so it had to be 2002.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2002.
Yeah.
We could do before a quick
our ex-wives
IMDb.
Started hating each other. Or between our ex-wives hating each other. I don't know.
Yeah, because they hated each other, got along, hated each other, yeah. got along.
Well, that particular
pretended
time,
pretended to get
along. Because they came to pick us up because I locked our van in the parking lot that wasn't open overnight.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Oh, my gosh.
But anyway. That was pretty awesome.
Our cell phones were about this big?
Yes.
They were like 3 inches tall.
I still have mine, actually. It's in the, it's in that case right there. I'll have to bring it out for later.
Oh, man.
But the reason I bring it up is because even as not a comic book nerd, I knew that that movie had been done with a special hand and had been done with special care. And it is so obvious when a movie is done to represent the original story, not just someone's individual ideas about the story. So,
right.
I'm guessing that the Airbender from M. Night Shyamalan was the exact opposite of the intent.
Yes, he absolutely took his own views of the show.
Personal liberties.
And forced it upon everyone. I mean, he went so far as to change the pronunciation of characters' names because that's how he would pronounce them.
But his name is M. Night Shyamalan. Who's he to be the authority on how to pronounce anything?
Yeah, he took a lot of liberties that were just kind of like, what? Which, you know, if that was the only thing, if he just, you know, changed a couple names, changed a, you know, little thing here and there.
Right.
But the feel of it, everything about it was just not right.
Wow.
I mean, okay, well, let me correct that. Not everything was wrong with it, but about 90% of it was not right.
Enough of it was wrong that you didn't care for the parts that were right.
Right, yeah. I mean, I could put a best of together of the, if I cared to subject myself through the, you know, the rest of the 90%, I could probably have about 10, 12 minutes of footage of like parts that
solid
I thought were cool.
Solid footage, right?
Yeah, but the rest is just, it's very painful.
Wow.
It was terrible. Me and the boys were so pissed off when we were in Germany. We went to see that movie in the theater and we were excited about it. And yet we left there just like feeling violated. Like something bad had happened to us in that building.
Kind of like watching Serenity for the first time, but in a whole different sense.
I know where you're going with that, but I didn't hate Joss Whedon. I kind of hated M. Night Shyamalan there for a while because of that.
Gotcha. All right, well.
Because Serenity's still a good movie. You're just upset about certain things that happened toward the end.
Yeah, about how things went down. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it. If that's you, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah. Has the decade passed yet? Because that's my rule, man. One decade, that's all you get.
It's probably getting close if it hasn't.
And for every beer that I've had, you lose a year. So right now you're at 8 years. If it's more than 8 years old, there's no...
We're probably about at that mark for Serenity. Oh, jeez.
I think Serenity was 2005, actually, because the show came on in 2002. So I'm going to guess 2005. So we're we're right in that zone.
Yeah.
Now, that's just off the cuff. I'm probably wrong, but whatever. It's my show. So
Wash dies.
Oh man, I might even have to edit that out, or I'll scramble it. put a little flag in there. Spoiler alert. Yeah. So, well, we do have a few things we wanted to talk about tonight, other than just the random bullshit. So, the first thing that we have in the doc here is esports, and the reason I bring this up, there was an article over the weekend. Well. The events happened over the weekend. The articles came out on Monday. 40,000 fans filled Seoul's World Cup Stadium to watch the 2014 League of Legends World Championship. This is according to the BBC. 40,000 fans filled a stadium to watch this event live.
Yeah. Well, okay. I have a couple thoughts about that. One, what the people are going to a stadium to watch people play a video game on a big screen. Not only that, there was a lot of people watching it on television, live streaming it online.
32 million people last year.
People were going to movie theaters to watch a live cast.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that was number one. But then number two, I had the sudden realization that, oh wait, this was in Seoul, South Korea. That's what they do in South Korea.
Yeah.
They play multiplayer video games.
Yes. Yes.
That's it. That's all they do in Korea. They play multiplayer
and
video games.
I wouldn't have thought anything of it, but it just so happens that Tuesday night, last night, was game one of the 2014 World Series of baseball. So I got curious. How many people, because 32 million people watched this this League of Legends World Championship last year, and by every count, this year is going to be way bigger than last year. Mm-hmm. So 32 million for this year is probably a conservative estimate. How many people watched the World Series Game 1 this year? Well, those numbers aren't the same in either, amount? Of course. Those numbers aren't in, of course. Last year's Game 1, and from what I could tell, about the average for each game of the World Series, about 15 million people in the U.S. Mm. And being that the World Series of baseball is fairly U.S.-centric, the worldwide numbers are not much higher than that.
No, it's like 15.2.
Well, it may be 25. Yeah, give it another 60%.
I would say that's a very liberal estimate.
Yeah, exactly. I'm way overestimating. But you're still not talking even close to the numbers of people that watched this League of Legends thing last year.
If you're talking about, if you include Canada and Mexico and Japan, yeah, there probably is a sizable international audience for Major League Baseball.
Right. So my next thought was, well, the World Series is a series of games. It's up to seven games. It's between four and seven games. So maybe you kind of have to take into account how many games there are and the combined viewer ratio. And man, my mind just started blowing up. Okay. So I was like, well, what's a direct comparison, a single sporting event, you know, that would be a direct comparison to this. And of course the Super Bowl came up. It's the biggest sporting event in the world with the exclusion of the World Cup.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which only happens every 4 years. It's kind of like the Olympics. You can't really count it in regular yearly totals.
Right, right.
So the Super Bowl. This year's Super Bowl, the 2014 Super Bowl, 111.5 million viewers.
Which is a lot.
That is a lot. That is a lot. A third of that watched the League of Legends last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The Super Bowl's on Super Bowl 49 coming up this year. So they've had 48 years to gain the viewership of 111.5 million people. Mm-hmm. League of Legends came out like 5 years ago. It's at 32 million worldwide. And this was not a four-hour event. This was like an all-day thing.
With the exception of South Korea, I'm wondering if this is kind of a fad thing, like the get really big really fast and then just kind of go away. In South Korea, I think it's kind of there to stay because it's kind of what they do. Started with StarCraft. Multiplayer games, tournaments, championships, et cetera, et cetera. Got really, really huge in Korea. They still have StarCraft 1 tournaments that are a huge deal in Korea. But pretty much the rest of the world, I mean, this has gotten really big, really, really, really fast.
Right.
So I'm wondering, is it going to continue to grow? Is it going to like plateau pretty soon? Or is it just going to peak and then fizzle out? Yeah, I don't know. Esports in general is kind of not that familiar to me because when you told me what you wanted to talk about tonight, earlier today, I was like, oh my God, what the hell is an esport? So I had to look it up, and when I read what an esport was, I was like, oh, you mean a LAN party. We used to call it a LAN party.
Yeah.
So, esports is basically just a LAN party on extreme amounts of steroids.
I've only watched League of Legends being played. I am a Warcraft player.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, Warcraft.
Oh, I see. I didn't know you played Warcraft 3.
I never actually played Warcraft 2. But I'm a World of Warcraft player. I was an EverQuest player. I've played, if it's a game, I've played some version of it. League of Legends, I may or may not have. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a team freemium experience that I don't know that I've experienced anywhere else. But I know it's gaining a lot of traction. And when World of Warcraft, which is the largest subscription-based massively multiplayer online role-playing game in the world, and they're down below 8 million monthly subscribers, but I read somewhere that there are something of 177 million monthly players. Can't really say subscribers, but...
Right, I read that.
It's close to 200 million, something like that. Monthly players on League of Legends doing microtransactions. They're raking in some money, and this is really big.
They just got bought by somebody. Amazon?
Oh, I think
Amazon just bought them.
But yeah, I'm thinking of because
I read a lot of articles. I read a lot of articles. It might have been someone else, but I thought it was them.
I don't know.
Bought them for close to $1 billion.
Yeah, these were not opportunities available to us when we were growing up, man. This didn't exist. There's not even an analog we can really compare it to, in the frontal lobe of my brain. Like, I can't think of something right off the bat where it's even close to a comparison from when we grew up to what these kids are experiencing now with these games.
The Wizard with Fred Savage.
You talking about the movie? Oh my gosh, I went with the neighbors because my parents didn't want to go. The neighbors were going to go, so they actually bought me a ticket to go with them. And with them and their, of course, their kids or however, them and their parents, however you want to work that out. That was our introduction to the Power Glove. Because the only time that anybody had mentioned anything about the Power Glove prior to that was Nintendo Power Magazine. And my subscription had just run out just prior to that episode.
Also, it was a wonderful preview of Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. It was like that's what the whole movie was about, wasn't it? Like,
it was
like,
well, it was a kid that he was like a genius prodigy. Right, but at when video you games. Really
look back at it as an adult,
oh, it was totally an advertisement was a for complete Super Mario Brothers.
Nintendo
3.
Advertisement for the Power Glove, which never ended up being anything, and Super Mario Brothers 3, which is still amazing.
Yes, it's still a wonderful, wonderful game.
Wow! Yes. Oh, the brand new game. Yeah. And wow. Okay, well, now that we've gone on that tangent. This next topic, man, it's not even going to fit now because you've got me in this good mood remembering all these happy times and stuff like that. So I don't even know how I'm going to blend this in. I can't even think of a transition, so I'm just going to go for it. I was out for 2 days. I had to work on Monday morning. I went to my boss and I was like, you know what? I've got it coming out both ends. I would like to suffer my misery in home. I have an appointment this afternoon with the clinic and, we'll see where it goes from there. And they told me, well, you have EPRs that are due, so you need to go ahead and, get those to us before you leave. So,
okay.
That was my Monday morning. I sent out 3 EPRs, which, I mean, in all fairness, they were due, even though the systems were down that would normally tell me they were due. So those 3 got pushed out in varying, qualities. And once those got pushed out, I went to lunch. It was right at 11 o'clock. That's usually when I take lunch anyway. It's like 5 after 11 or 5 to 11, whatever. I went home and went to just take a nap because I was beat, dude. I was completely out of it. Got up for my appointment, hauled butt over there. Probably shouldn't have driven over there because I was just, I had vertigo and everything else. Get to the clinic. They gave me some IVs, some anti-nausea medicine, put me on quarters for 48 hours. So I go back to the house. I'm out. Being the good senior NCO that I am, when my quarters was up at about 3:30 this afternoon, I got my uniform back on, got cleaned up, went back into work. Everyone that I normally work with is gone. I check my inbox. I have 2 emails in there that just blow me away. One of them is reminding me of a missed appointment from one of the people that worked for me. that he missed the day before going into ALS. ALS is Airman Leadership School, for those of you that are not in the Air Force. It's a period of time which the member is in this school on how it's basically a leadership school for about 5 weeks, and they're practically untouchable. We can't have them do other appointments. We can't call them back into the office unless it's an emergency matter. They're basically like, pretend this person doesn't work here for 5 weeks. Let them study, let them learn, and let them be in this educational environment. Don't bother them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much how it is for your career, right? That's how you've always known ALS.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. ALS, it's like they went TDY.
Like, they're TDY, yeah. You can't touch them, leave them alone. Fine. Mm-hmm. He missed an appointment the day before he left. We didn't find out about it until the day he actually started class. What am I supposed to do with it? I'm not going to call him in. I'm not going to interrupt his educational environment for him to come in and answer to this missed appointment that he probably missed because he thought the class started the day before because the emails were conflicting.
Right. Yep.
Well, we discussed this at my level, me and my immediate boss and my other, my equals, my fellow section chiefs, and we discussed it, and we were like, okay, well, we'll address it when he gets back. We already know about it. We knew about it the day it happened. We'll worry about it then. So why the hell am I getting an email about it today? Why are they bothering me about it today? The shirt.
Who is it from? Oh, it's from the shirt.
The shirt is now pressing for answers on it through my flight chief to me, my outgoing flight chief to me. And all I'm thinking of is, dude, off the jock, man. You already know what's up.
See, I hate to talk about people. That sounds like a lazy boss. Not lazy, maybe spineless is more the word that I want to use. Because some people are like, oh, the shirt needs answers. I know the answer, but let me pass it to that person who's below me that's closer to the problem.
Well,
even though I know the answer and could handle
it
right
now. Let me make it clear. My immediate boss, my outgoing immediate boss, does like to pass things on. I don't know how much he actually catches. I just know that he does tend to pass more things on along than previous people I've had in that position. Previous flight chiefs. So maybe he catches a lot more than I know of, and there's just more there, therefore there's more trickling my way. Either way.
And that could be too, because I thought I knew what went on in a flight until I actually became the flight chief.
Right.
And yeah, there's way, way more going on than what anyone
than what
you
thought
realized.
Of it as section chief position.
So,
right.
Yeah, and I imagine that the higher you get, the more that's the case. So like the shirt and the commander, I can't even imagine what is all on their plate.
Oh, man, yeah. The other email that I got, this time it was a courtesy copy for his reply back to someone else. The someone else doesn't matter.
You were the one CC'd?
I was CC'd on his reply to someone else.
Okay, got it.
It was insinuated in his reply. No, I wouldn't even say insinuated. It was identified as fact in his email. His reply that I did not provide my airmen with all the information that I was given. They were not prepared for an appointment. They showed up on time at the right place. They did not have the correct equipment with them for the appointment. My flight chief dimed me out as saying that I provided the itinerary for the engagement, but did not provide the full details, and therefore it is my fault that my airmen did not show up with the proper equipment. Which, if that was true, I am completely okay with. However, I was never given the proper information. In fact, the first email I ever saw on the particular subject was this specific email stating that I had not passed on information about the email that I hadn't gotten to the airmen who had more information than I had.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Your supervisor should have come to you first and be like, hey, so what's the story on this? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, did you get this information? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, you didn't? Oh, okay. Oh, hey, shirt. We were not informed of the blah, 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 blah. So,
no.
Sorry.
No, it was not like that at all. It was specifically the section chiefs. It stated in there. The section chiefs apparently passed on the itinerary but did not give the full information about the equipment requirements for the class.
Right.
If you're skipping me in the process, don't blame me when the process gets broken.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like you work for a pass the buck kind of boss.
He's getting ready to retire, and I don't want to put all the blame on him. My primary focus on bringing this up is this shit would never have happened back in the days when we had face-to-face turnovers.
Oh, my God.
Before we went to the electronic age of, let's just pass on the email. And before we went on this age of, let's barrage everybody with so much information they can't possibly wade through it all, then hold them accountable for the information that they missed during the 15 minutes a day they're allowed on a computer with email access. Right. That we restrict to only our computers.
Yeah, and why was this not the only subject of the podcast? Because I could rant on this for an entire 30 minutes by myself. I feel exactly the same way. The email has pretty much taken over our, communication completely. We still do stand-up roll calls, but how often... I try to be better about it in my roll calls, but generally speaking in the Air Force, how many times do you stand there in roll call and you hear, check your email, there's something in there about blah, 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 and then they move on? Exactly. There's like 30 people in your roll call, and you guys have four computers.
Yeah. And not to mention, they can't sit there and surf their emails all day because they got to take time for jobs, and they got CBTs to take 4 hours to do that they have to get done before the 19th of the month prior. And
exactly. But if you take if you sit on the computer for 30 minutes at a time, your boss gonna come down and be like, dude, why are you around on the computer? Get to work.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're like, well, I'm trying to do what you told me to do, but I can't do because you told me I got it. Yeah. Yeah, it's irritating.
It blows me right away, man. This whole digital age. And here's the kicker, okay? I understand information flows quicker electronically. You can disseminate it to a larger audience.
Instantly.
Yes. I understand the accessibility has increased immensely. But is there any more information necessary to be passed out now than there was then?
I don't think so.
Or did the natural filters take place then to limit the amount of information we were barraged with as airmen?
I really
believe there's a happy medium in between the two. And I certainly believe that I should not receive 5 emails about the same topic from 4 different people. And yes, I said 5 emails from 4 people because one asshole wants to say it twice to reiterate what some other jerkhead said.
Yeah. Yep. I love the guy that forwards it on to the same audience that it received the original email.
Yes. Just as their comment on there, especially when their comment is just FYI or FYSA or like, shut up, put your hands back in your pocket and walk back into that wall 14 times because that's all the good you're doing me right now. You are worthless and you do not need to be getting a paycheck from my freaking government and my Air Force. Just move on, you E-10 wannabe. Oh my God! Like,
yep.
All right,
I'm gonna go on a kind of a side rant on this. I'm gonna go on a side rant on this. Email, like, we're slaves as master sergeants with a desk. We are absolute slaves to Microsoft Outlook. That consists of probably about 60% of our daily.
Don't forget SharePoint.
Oh, SharePoint or EMS or and all that. Anyway, I'm starting to use the word more and more. Don't get me going about work.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And here's the kicker. Okay. Well,
and people wonder why. People wonder why I was so eager to push the button.
I know. I know. I'm just not in a place where I can right now. So here's like the final little. Dog turd that finishes your great walk through the forest, all right? What happens if you brief something at roll call You've got 30 people there, and you brief them. You read the email to them verbatim, word for word. You say who it's from, who they need to report to come to you afterwards if they missed any of the information. You gave them a number. You told them that it was in their email for them to check individually. You posted on the bulletin board in front of the roll call room in bright letters highlighting the important information. You leave it up there for a week. They still miss the information, and who's to blame? Not them. 30 people heard me repeat that information.
Yeah.
Not a single one of them wants to say, oh, yeah, he did it. My buddy Jim's a jackass.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you forward it on. Like, somebody sends you an email. Even if you don't read it, you're still held accountable to the fact that you received it.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting at with my rant about being a slave to Outlook, because Outlook, basically all Outlook is to me, is an electronic to-do list where anybody in the world can add a task to. Literally, any human being on the planet can add to your to-do list.
Yep.
Which is Outlook. And your Outlook inbox is your to-do list. I mean, even if it's just some informational crap about, oh, hey, here's the blood drive that's going on Friday. Well, now you are, like you said, held responsible for passing on that information because it was...
Yep.
Because it arrived in your inbox from the shirt or whoever,
even
now
if
you're responsible for passing.
Even if it went out base wide, the entire freaking base received this information about this blood drive that's going on 3 weeks from now for 4 days. You still are obligated to pass this information on every single chance you get until such a time as that blood drive is over.
And even still, Airman Doofenberg on Tuesday is going to be like, oh, wait, did I miss the blood drive?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Yeah, hey, we need you to go ahead and start depaneling the plane. But I wanted to go to the blood drive. You talked about it. Did you put it in the appointment book? No, I didn't think I had to because you talked about it at roll call. I figured I could just go and kind of make it a long lunch.
Have you been showing up at my roll calls? Oh my god.
Yeah, Airman Knuckle Nuts needs to get his hands out of his pockets. Oh, jeez. We're going to have to save the sense of entitlement that these young kids in the military have these days for another time, because that's like a 3-hour rant on each of our parts. So,
see, I know when you and I first came in,
we weren't entitled to shit.
No, something could be our supervisor's fault, but we somehow got in trouble for it.
Yes. Be like, hey,
now it seems to be the complete opposite.
You're standing there at 7 o'clock in the morning for roll call, and they're like, hey, we told night shift to mop the floors last night. It didn't get done. So all you guys are going to mop the floors and mow the grass and do this and do that. And plus you get to do your CDCs today. And by the way, you owe me 8 hours in the battery shop. And you're like, cool. I just came off leave.
Well, it's your fault for not being here. So that
it's your fault for not being here. You could have fixed it if you had been here instead of slacking off on your Congress-entitled leave.
God. Our audio listeners didn't see your air quotes.
It didn't matter. I'm sure they heard them in their minds. Like, this is one of those times when I need a civilian friend of ours, like a person that's never been in the military at all, never affiliated in any way, shape, or form with the military, to join this conversation with us and give us the analog equivalents in the civilian world. Because we don't know it, and we're anxious to find out, because we want to know if there are civilian idiots just as bad as there are in the military.
Oh,
or if something about basic training breeds the freaking idiocy that we're seeing in these stupid troops.
Well, here's
and if I could ever get my wife on here to talk about the reserve and guard aspect of this, we would have a whole new freaking podcast.
Well, here I have something to add to that, because whenever I go on leave or in some other way immerse myself fully into a civilian community with no other military around me. Yeah, there's some really smart people out there, but there's a whole shitload of stupid, stupid people. Hell, actually, all you gotta do, forget everything I just said, just go to Walmart. Just go to Walmart. Don't shop. Just walk around.
Yeah.
Just walk around and look.
Yep.
There are so many stupid people.
And we're not saying all the people at Walmart are stupid.
No.
But you can pick them out.
I'm just saying, this is what you do.
If you just go into Walmart, into the busiest section of Walmart, okay? And you look around, and if you can't find five complete disasters of life, you're one of them. Period.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that. And this is employees and customers.
Yes. I said people. I wasn't being specific.
Yeah, and well, hey, but anyway, you know, you go to, I don't know, just anywhere away from a base, and you just kind of look around, and it's, yeah, you've got some really cool people, really smart people, or whatever. But then you've also got this larger subset of, man, and then you think about the idiots you have in the military, and you're like, wow, that guy's not so bad after all.
Yeah. Well, George Carlin said something along the lines of, you want to know how stupid the average person is? Think about all the stupid people around you and recognize that half the people are stupider than that. Yeah.
That's well put.
I miss George Carlin. Here's a George Carlin right here.
Yeah. To Mr. Carlin.
Yeah, who am I to call him on a first name basis, right? Comedic genius.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at @RM_podcast. You can find you at @RM_Del Noche. You can find me at Ethan Kane. That covers all the tweeters.
Mm-hmm.
You can visit us at ritualmisery.reddit.com to give us your information and show us give us links to articles or anything else that you want us to take a peek at.
That would be awesome, actually, because I mean, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about, but man, if the audience was telling us what to talk about, that would be awesome.
Agreed.
We could really be giving the audience what they want.
Agreed. Yeah. Like,
did you lose yourself?
My links are not working right now. Okay, so the main place you can find us if you really want to keep track of the show notes and everything else is going to be at ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. You can subscribe to us on at that site, or you can go to iTunes and look up Kent Fleur, Anthony Lemos, or the Ritual Misery Podcast, and you will find us on iTunes. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, we are on iTunes now. That is amazing.
With our bad artwork. And if you'd like to improve the artwork, by all means, let us know.
Oh, yes, please submit. Submit artwork, submit music, submit any sort of creative, anything that you want to like allow us to use for the show.
Yeah, we will
fully. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll fully blow you up on it. You know, as our limited audience grows, you will definitely be heard by it. Or be seen, yeah, so, or whatever else. I don't care. We will change the album art for every episode we have if we have enough album art for it. So I don't mind at all.
Please contribute.
We do have the music at the beginning of our show, and at the end of our show comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod. He's got some great stuff over there. Everybody should check him out. Just Google Kevin MacLeod.
And I've got a link to some of his music.
There we go. You can always email us at ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. That would give us some direct input there. So that being said, man, we really appreciate you listening. And for Kent, for me, for you, as this is your podcast as well, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Hit the button like 5 times and it didn't want to go.
I saw the look on your face kept getting a little more distressed. A little more distressed. And I kept looking up at the corner at the, oh, we're still on the air.
We're still on the air.